begin this series called Family Matters. And here's our logo. I really wanted to use this other logo right here, but didn't really feel right about it. So we'll go back to the other logo. So we're going to have fun with this series. We got four different people speaking and just hearing from different perspectives. We're going to hear from some dads. We're going to hear from some moms. I just think it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it. And I get to start it all off for you. So, but today, you know, when you hear a lot of family series, you know, a lot of the same scriptures come up. And I think we're going to have a little bit different perspective as we do this series. And so it's good to mix things up and see some different things. But anyway, today I want to talk to you about perfect family. Perfect family, because there's not one, right? You know, we can get on Instagram and we can see families like this. You know, you go to the beach and you know, like the perfect family photo, right? And when we go to the beach, it looks more like this picture, trying to take a family photo. I mean, it doesn't work out. See, that is not me, by the way. Anyway. Y'all made me forget what I was saying. But, you know, we get on Instagram and we get on Facebook and we see what all the other families are doing. You know, they're going to Disney World. They're going to the beach and they're taking all these wonderful family pictures and they're doing all these cool Pinterest crafts with their kids and all this stuff. And you see all that out there, then you look at yourself and go, what am I doing? You know, we're going to go hang out at McDonald's, you know, this summer. You know, that's our plan. And lots of times we get in this place to where we compare ourselves to other families and we begin to, you know, feel like we're not good enough. And I think that's what, you know, the enemy wants us to think, that we're never good enough. And, you know, I found out that within myself I'm not good enough because of the grace of God in my life, that He makes me worthy. And so that's a good place to say amen, by the way. But one thing we got to be careful is that we don't compare someone's highlights to our everyday life. Because you never see, you know, like the goof-ups in life on Facebook. You know, they don't post the pictures of when, you know, they failed their kids or, you know, they messed up or they didn't do the right thing. We don't see that stuff. You know, but we always try to portray the best on social media. And so I just want to encourage you today, don't feel like you're less of a parent or less of a spouse because you don't do everything perfect. Because here's the thing, nobody does it all perfect. You know, before they took that one picture, I'm sure, like, you know, they were fighting and you know, it was just that one moment, like, everybody smile, you know, and go back to fighting, you know. And so there's no perfect family out there, and that's not what we're trying to portray. I'm not trying to say I'm the perfect parent, the perfect spouse. And because I'm not, you know, I miss it all the time. And so, you know, we got to be careful when it comes to comparing in family, because the enemy's tactic, you know, he never changes his tactics. It's the same from the very beginning. And so he likes to isolate and he makes you want to feel like you're the only one going through this one thing and nobody else has ever done it. And so you're a failure. And that's just not the truth. You know, we all struggle with a lot of the same things when it comes to family. You know, one thing I've noticed is that my kids act better in public than they do at home. Anybody else out there? Like, I mean, they're like crazy, like at home, and like you tell them something and they just ignore you, and you get in public and they're around other people, like, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, please. You're like, where did this kid come from? I mean, and so anyway, don't compare. That's my first sermon today. I got three more, so. But anyway, I like to go hiking. Most of y'all are wondering why I have a backpack on. It's not because I'm carrying a bunch of stuff. I do have some stuff in there. I have a snack in there that I was eating a while ago. Like, I was getting hungry, I was like, I got some snacks in here. Sweet. But anyway, I love going hiking. It's something that's been a passion of mine for a long time, And the beautiful thing about it is I get my family to go with me. The kids are old enough now to where we go hiking together, and I love it. But I kind of started my hiking with my cousin Chris. He's always been passionate about outdoors, and a lot of us have been hiking with Chris. But we always went hiking together before we had kids, and you know, we went to a lot of amazing places. And I'm a destination hiker, okay? A lot of people, when you say hiking, you're like, I don't want to go walk around in the woods. And I don't like to go walk around in the woods either. You know, people who just walk around in the woods are lost. You know, I like to go somewhere. I like to go see something. I've done that too before, by the way. But anyway, I like to go something. And so here's a couple of places that I've been before. I love going to like mountaintops and seeing overlooks. Like here's one over around Ponca, Arkansas right here. Go to the next one. We got a few. That's Mount Magazine right there. Just beautiful overlooks. I love going and seeing this stuff. This is one of my favorite, Hawksbill Crag right there, right around the Buffalo River. That actually overlooks the Buffalo right there. This is one in Honduras, actually. Beautiful country, beautiful country. So I love going to overlooks. I also love waterfalls. I'm a waterfall chaser, and so here's one right around the Buffalo, a lot of stuff around the Buffalo River. There's that one there. Here's one from Jamaica right there, Duns River Falls. I got to hike that one. I think I've got, this is my happy place right here. Twin Falls of Richland Creek right here. I love this place. It's my favorite place to hike. But I love hiking. I love going out and seeing what God created in nature and all of that stuff. But what we see is that when we go hiking, unless you go hiking in the Delta, you know, where everything's just like flat. Yeah, I don't like hiking over there. I don't want to see rice fields all day. So, but anyway, we love going into the mountains and seeing waterfalls and overlooks. And as we hike, we realize that there's mountains and there's valleys, right? It's the same thing in life. As we're journeying through life, we have mountains and valleys in our life. We love seeing the overlooks. We love going up there and seeing the beautiful views, and we want to camp there and stay there at that place. But, you know, to get to that overlook, what do you have to do? You have to go through the valley and climb the hill to get up to the top to see. And so, you know, we have mountains and we have valleys. The one thing I like about valleys is, what do you find in valleys? We find the waterfalls. And so, you know, water falls, and so it goes down, and so you have to be in the valley to see the waterfall. And so there's beauty in all of it. There's beauty in the valleys. There's beauty on the mountaintops. And so I promise I'm going, this is not a hiking speech to get you interested in hiking. I promise I'm going somewhere with this when it talks to families. But when I go hiking, I like to be prepared too, right? That's why I got my backpack today. All right, who knows the number one thing you need to take hiking with you? Number one thing is water. You got to have water, all right? A lot of people say, I can drink out of the stream. You don't know what's in that stream. You don't know that pig farm that's up the stream there that's been... Yeah, exactly. That's why you don't drink out of streams. Bring your own water. Okay, so water is important. What's the second most important thing? My snacks that I've been eating here. My snacks. You got to have food. You got to have that nourishment. Because if you've ever been hiking, it seems like you hike a mile and you're just starving all of a sudden. I mean, it's crazy. And so you got to have your snacks, get you ready to go. What's another thing you got to have? Compass, map. You got to have a plan. You got to know where you're going, right? Otherwise, you're lost and walking around in the woods. And so I've got my Arkansas map here. You don't hike off of that because it shows the roads. I actually have a book that it's the waterfalls of Arkansas. Who could guess how many waterfalls are actually in Arkansas? It was way more than I thought. In this one book, there's like 160 waterfalls. And it's not just like a little trickle like off the stage there. I mean, it's like 20, 30-foot waterfalls that are all over Arkansas. And it's just beautiful. I love it. But as we go, you know, we also have to have the right gear, good gear. You got to have good shoes. You know, you got to take your backpack. You got to take those things that you're going to need on the trip. And so it's the same thing in life. As we're going through the journey of life, we need to be prepared. So we got to have our water. Spiritually, what's our water? Man, that's Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, I never go hiking without this. And so we never need to go through life without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, man, you're lost. You're wandering around. You don't know where you're going. And so that's the number one thing that we need. When it comes to family, when it comes to marriage and raising our kids, if Jesus isn't in the middle of it, if you're not clutching on to your water, then it's going to be tough. you know, you're not going to be going in a good direction. The food, God's Word. We so underestimate the power of God's Word in our life. See, I would never go hiking without taking a snack with me, some kind of food, because you get out there and you're burning energy and you know, you think, I can eat before I go and I can eat when I get back. But man, when you're out there, you get hungry. And it's the same thing in life, is that, man, we need to be feasting on God's Word. There's so many Christians that are out there starving to death because they don't make time for God's Word. It's so very important, because that's what nourishes your spirit. That's what nourishes your soul. That's what keeps you going. See, if you find someone out there hiking and they don't have food and they start getting weak, they start getting shaky, you know, and you know the blood sugar is going down, and you need to give them that food. And that's the way it is in life. You know, when you're getting low and you're getting weak spiritually, go to God's Word. Get some strength in you, because it's so vital, vitally important. See, we need a map. We need a compass. We need a plan when we go hiking. Same thing in life. In your marriage, what are you trying to do in marriage? What are you trying to accomplish? Where are you trying to go in your marriage? What kind of kids are you trying to raise? Do you have a plan? There's so many people that don't have a plan for their marriage, and so they're just wandering around out there, and then they get lost and they get upset at each other. And she says, "Why aren't you asking for directions? I know where I'm going." And there you go. There's your big fire. Nobody's ever had that fire, right? Okay. You got to know where you're going. You got to know what you want to do. What is your plan? One of my favorite authors, Andy Andrews, he has this saying that he says, "We're not trying to raise great kids. We're trying to raise kids that are going to make great adults." See, if you're just trying to raise great kids, then you're missing out. Because there's this, I don't know exactly what they call it, but there's this thing called failure to launch. There's a movie out there, but there's an actual, like, diagnosis that there's tons of young people today that are just failing to leave their parents' house. I mean, they're living in the basement. They're 30, 40 years old and still living with mom and dad. You know, and I could understand that if you're having a hard time and you need that for a second, but there's people that just, they have no plans in leaving. I mean, they're there. And you know, and that's, you know, we're missing out. I can't wait for my kids to move out. I mean, I love my kids. You know, when I first started having kids, you know, there's like, you need to enjoy every moment. And so many people have told me that, then I'm like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And so, and I do that. I love my kids. I love jumping on the trampoline with them and playing cupcake wars with them and drawing. And I love all of that stuff. But one day, I want them to move out of my house to where it's just Miranda and I live there and we can enjoy that time. Because, you know, we live in the same house, you know, but it's like if the kids are awake, you know, focuses on the kids. And so what's our plan? Do you have a plan for your life? Do you have a plan for your marriage? Do you have a plan for your kids? Is your plan to glorify God with your family? So a lot of times we don't even think down that avenue. How can I use my family, my marriage, to bring glory to God? Because that's what everything's about in the Christian life, is that we bring glory to Him. We got to have the right gear. We have to have good quality gear. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Is what is this gear that we need as we travel through life, as a married couple, as parents and raising kids and as family? What is it that we need? Because we all know this, that in life, we have those mountaintop experiences where everything is going right. Sometimes it lasts like 30 seconds, but you know, it's there. You know, you have to where, you know, everything is going good, and I mean, it's just like that.
Oh, hello.
There we go. All right, we're back. Okay, now what was I saying? Nobody knows, me neither. Awesome. But we all have those mountaintops and those valley experiences, you know, and we love the mountaintops, but it seems as though we dread the valley. And so here's the thing I've realized going hiking is that, yeah, we love the mountaintops, but there's no water up there. You don't see any streams coming off the mountaintops. There's usually not a lot of vegetation. There's usually not a lot of shade up on the top. It's a great place to see, and it's a great place to, you know, to be. But where we find God's provision is usually in the valley. That's where we normally find God's provision for us is when we're in the valley, when we're in the struggle. And lots of times we don't like the valley. But you know what we find in the valley? We find water. We find waterfalls. And that's what I like. We find vegetation. We find trees. We find shade. We find a lot of the stuff that we need in life. And so why are we dreading the valley? See, here's the thing, that we need to learn to see the beauty while we're in the valley. I have a hard time when I go hiking, is that I'm so destination-minded. I want to get to that waterfall, I want to get to that overlook, that I forget to enjoy the hike. That there's so many beautiful things around me at the moment that I forget to look around and see those things. And I think that's the way we do in life a lot of times. We want to reach that mountaintop. We want to our kids to you know, be polite and to do these things, and we want to reach this certain goal in our marriage, that we forget to enjoy what's going on around us as we're getting there. And so today I want to talk to you about seeing the beauty in the valley. Because most of our life we spend in the valley. Most of the time we're there in the struggle, and we're pushing and we're doing these things and we're trying to make things happen, and we experience the mountaintop, but then we come right back down. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because it's in the valley is where we find God's provision. It's in the valley that's where we grow. It's in the valley. So let me talk about this real quick, because I got 45 seconds. Oh wait, that's negative 45 seconds. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about when we're in the valley. And anybody give me 5 more minutes? Anybody? Raise your hand if you give me 5 more. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Sweet, I got plenty of time. All right, so let's talk about this in the valley. What is the gear that we need? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find this. We find Paul here talking about a struggle that he has. We call it Paul's thorn in the flesh, and Pastor talked about this a few weeks ago. And it's a great story, because it says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, it says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. See, how many times when we're in the valley, we're in the struggle, we ask God to take us out of the valley. We take the struggle away. You know, I don't want to go through this, and we ask God to take it away. There's nothing wrong with asking that, but most of the time, you know what happens? He says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Man, that's such a powerful statement. Because lots of times we try to do life on our own. You know, we try to make our marriage work on our own. We try to make our kids behave on our own, and we can't do it. We get weak, we get worn out. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He's saying, when you're at your weakest, my grace is at its strongest in your life. We need to learn to depend on God's grace. Because we don't find a lot of God's grace on the mountaintop when everything's going good. We don't need it as much. But it's when we're struggling and we're pushing through and we need to look for God's grace in those moments, because it's there. See, lots of times we struggle because we don't look for His grace. We think, I can do this. We get stubborn. Anybody get stubborn? I mean, we're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my kids mine. Anyway. We got to depend on God's grace in those times. He continues. He said, therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, and in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. Listen to this. This always confused me. He said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, it's not till we come to the point where we realize that, man, I can't do this. That's when the grace of God is the strongest in our life. So why are we running away from God when we struggle? Why are we running away from God in those hard times? It's because those are the times that God's just overflowing us with grace, and this is what you need, because when we are weak, He makes us strong. It's not our strength. It's His strength. It's His power that pushes us through. But see, we got to learn to change our perspective. See, we despise the valley because we know it's hard times. It's hard times, but we need to change our perspective and say, God, I'm struggling here, so I want to see your grace. God, this is where I'm going to see your grace the strongest, is right here in the valley in the struggle, God, and I'm excited to see what you do in my life. Can we change our perspective just a little bit? So we need God's grace as the first piece of gear that we need. The second one is we need patience. Has anybody ever prayed for patience? That's one of those things like, never pray for patience, because God will give it to you. Listen to this, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I always thought, James, you are nuts. James, you are crazy. Why would I consider it joy when bad things are happening? But listen, change of perspective. Let's look at this. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But we got to let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. See, if we never struggle, we never grow. Now, I'm not saying that God brings these things on us. What I am saying, though, is when trials come, when the enemy attacks, when our bad choices catch back up to us, let's count that as joy. Are you crazy? Count it as joy, as James says, because the testing of our faith produces patience. See, it's just like working out. You know, if you want to get stronger, if you want to get better, you got to push yourself. You can't stick with the 5-pound weights. You know what I'm saying? Some people go in there and they pick up the 5-pound dumbbells like, oh yeah. And they can do that all day long, but they'll never grow. It's not until you pick up the heavier weights and you push yourself more. That's what the faith tests are about, is to push you, to make you stronger. Not for you, but to prove God's faithfulness in your life and that you're willing to trust Him and to push through these things. Because let me tell you something, it takes a lot of patience to be married. My wife's not in here, so I can get away with a little bit more. It takes a lot of patience to raise kids. A lot. And the reason why you're snapping at your kids and all those things, are you looking for God's grace? Because let me tell you something, God should have snapped on me a long time ago. But He didn't, because He loved me. He has patience with me. And see, that's what we have to have in our lives. As our kids push us and they're pushing the boundaries and all those things, we got to have that patience in there and that grace in there to teach them, to not lose our cool on that. This happened just this morning. I was sitting there, I was getting ready, getting the kids ready, ironing the clothes, all that stuff, and I was getting ready, and I had a moment where I could sit down and drink my cup of coffee. Everybody knows that that's a very important part of the morning, get that coffee in you. And so I'm sitting there, I sit down in the recliner, coffee, and I lay back, and I'm praying, taking a nap, and so, and next thing I know, I just feel something just, Owen comes up, two fists, right in my stomach. Coffee going everywhere, spilt it all over myself, and I mean, I came up out of that chair, and I was angry. And I was like, oh, and what were you thinking? Why would you do this? You need to do. And in the middle of that, I had to stop. I'm like, wow, I'm talking about family today, about how we need to have patience and God's grace. Hey, let me let you on a little secret. When you speak about something, that's usually the thing you're tested in that week. Just saying. It's crazy. And so I had to go back. I had to backpedal and say, I had to connect with Owen. I love you. You know, I'm sorry I yelled at you. You know, and so I started tickling him, and that always, like, fixes things with him. And, you know, just have that time of play and bring that grace back into that relationship. See, it takes patience. It takes patience. And look at the next verse. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. See, here's the thing with life, is that we need to ask for God's wisdom. That should be the first prayer that we pray in the morning. God, I love you. Give me wisdom today, because I need it. As I'm in the valley, as I'm struggling, God, I need your wisdom. God, Build the patience in me. God, let me see your grace in the middle of the struggle today. Because family is struggle most of the time. See, when you live in the valley, either you're going to get bitter or you're going to look for God in the middle of the valley and let Him make your life better. It's your choice. Number three, we need to trust in God. That needs to be the next gear that we carry with us, our trust in God. 1 Corinthians 10. So if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. There's a whole sermon right there. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, listen to this, this is where I'm getting. But when you're tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, I used to think that we could ask God and He would pluck us out of those situations. That's what I thought He meant, that He would give us a way out. But what He's saying, listen to this last part, He said, so that you can endure it. See, what happens in this, as we're trusting in God and the temptation comes, the struggle comes in our life, as we submit to Him and we seek Him and His grace, He shows us the path that we need to take. He doesn't take us out. He said, this is where you need to go. And He gives you the strength to endure that path and to make it out. See, we need to be trusting in God. How many times do we struggle and we try to do it on our own first, when we need to be trusting in Him and what He has for us? See, if we're always struggling in the valley, then we're going to despise the valley. When we need to be seeing the beauty in the valley, because God is trying to work something in your life. Psalm 23, I love this because this is the picture of the valley. See, we always see the one part where I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but listen to this, all of this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Where are pastures and still waters at? Are they on the mountaintop? No. It's in the valley where we find these things. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. See, I used to have this picture of walking through this valley and just like dark shadows. I mean, it's nighttime and it's dark shadows and you're hearing the wolves and all of the stuff going on around you and you're just walking through and you're just so scared, you know. And, you know, that's what I used to think on this. But listen to this. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys and the toughest times in life, He said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. When you're walking through the valley, do you have God with you? He's always with us, but did you invite Him along the journey with you? Because when God is with us, then there's no fear. No matter what it is we're facing, there is no fear because His rod and His staff are there to comfort us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. See, what is our focus when we're in the valley? Are we looking at our circumstances? Are we looking at the darkness all around us? Or are we looking to God who is guiding us? See, when we follow God and let His light guide us through the darkness, you can enjoy the valley. You can find beauty in the struggle. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but you can. All right, last scripture, then I'm going to be quiet. See, I believe that this kind of sums up what we talked about. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, there was no stipulations on that. He didn't say, when you're on the mountaintop, rejoice. Give thanks. Pray continually on the mountaintop. No, He said, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, rejoice always, knowing that God's grace is sufficient for you. Pray continually, trusting in Him, putting your faith in Him, letting that patience work in your heart. And He said, in everything, give thanks. See, if you have a grateful heart, for what God's done for you in your life, then the valley's not scary. Because you know that God has a plan, He has a purpose. He's going to bring you through it, and you're going to be stronger for it. But if you're too busy looking at the struggle, if you're too busy looking at the darkness and the craziness going on, then you're going to struggle through the valley, and you may get left in the valley. Trust in God. Trust in the grace that He has for you in those moments. For my grace is sufficient for you. Can we pray? God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, you knew that in life that we'd have valleys and we'd have mountaintops, we'd have struggles and we'd have good times, God. And you've provided, you've given your grace for it all. God, you said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God, and I trust in your word. I trust in you, knowing that no matter what happens in life, God, I am going to make it. God, that I can be restful, that I can fear no evil in your presence. God, it might not end up like I want it to, but God, your will be done. As Paul says, if I live, it's good. But if I die, I'm in your presence, and it's good. God, help us to change our perspective on the valley. God, help us to see the beauty. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer team, can you come forward just real quick? We're going to sing one more song. I know we're 5 minutes over, and that's okay. But I want to allow God to work in people's lives, because there's people in here that are struggling today. They're struggling in their family. They're struggling in their marriage. And you need a change of perspective. You need to reach out and grab the grace of God today. Today you can do that. Whether you sit in your seat and do that, or if you need someone to pray with you, come ahead as we sing the song. It's called My Victory. Let's reach out for that victory that God's given us. Amen.